Happy May 11th on the Ira Kaufman podcast. The march toward the real season, Ira, continues. I'm Steve Isbitz, of course, here with the custodian of Canton, Mr. Ira Kaufman, the Tampa Bay area's premier sage on all things sports, but especially the Buccaneers and the NFL. Do you like that sage moniker, Ira? Do you feel like a sage?
Look, my focus is even more on the Bucs than the NFL because, Steve, I hate to say this. Here we are, you know, a damn month into the baseball season, and my Giants are dead. They're dead in the water. I mean, they're the worst team in baseball. What the hell happened? I got three World Series rings, and now I got 120 games with nothing to look forward to? This is a long, long baseball season when you got a crap baseball team, and the Giants stink right now. So
are you going to
that's how we're going to start this podcast.
Are you going to be a true stick carrier Giants fan and watch the games? Or are you going to unplug, you think, in August?
Well, they're down 4-0 after two innings every night. I mean, this is an embarrassment. You know, they're getting three hits a night. I'm not sure Bochy's going to make it through the year. He's got heart problems. He's got agita. And I know, you know, I got agita. Anyway, on to, you know, Steve, we're doing this podcast from One Buck Place.
Live from One Buck Place.
And today was a very, very big focus on the defensive side of the ball, and as it should be, because everybody's still excited about O.J. Howard and Godwin and DeSean Jackson and all the additions for Jameis Winston. But let's not forget, you still got to play defense in this league, Steve. And as good as the Buck defense, and you and I have fought about this, you know, in the past year, as good as the Buck defense was in the second half of the season, they didn't show up, in my opinion, in Dallas and in New Orleans. You're blaming the offense. I'm blaming mostly defense.
No, I'm in the middle.
It might have been Levante David that did single out the Dallas and New Orleans games where it might have been Ayers that they did not play well enough to win on defense. And you know what? Bravo, Robert, because you're right. They did not.
No, they didn't. And, yeah, it was Mike Smith, Levante David, Robert Ayers, really given a lot of time, almost really as much as we would have liked.
Very relaxed.
To come out and just chat with us guys grinding it out here on the beat. Not too many folks here today. But, of course, hey, it's May. That's the way it goes.
I think Levante David, Steve, was one of the happiest Bucks in a way that Mike Smith didn't get a head coaching job. I mean, you feel for Mike Smith. He was out there trying, maybe came close in San Diego. Maybe came close in Jacksonville, maybe not. Certainly those jobs were open, and he went for it. He didn't get it. That's the second year in a row. Remember, he was close maybe with the Giants the year before, Steve. It didn't happen. Now, you know, Mike Smith's removed from head coaching for 2-3 years. It's tough to get back on your feet. But if I'm Levante David, knowing the way that Mike Smith utilized me towards the end of the season, it sort of reminded – Steve, you and I have, was it 2012 or 2013, one of those Schiano years?
Both.
When Levante David was a stat monster, showed up in the post-game sheet, you know, a sack, four tackles for loss, a pick, and 11 solo tackles. I mean, you know, that's why we were saying, you know, this guy's following the footsteps of the great Derrick Brooks. No, nobody's been saying that, you know, since then. And last year, towards the end, and Mike Smith mentioned it, he is now convinced that Levante David can be a very effective blitzer in this league. And I'm of the opinion that unless some people really come to the fore, I think the Bucs pass rush is going to need some blitzing this fall. And I think Levante David's going to be the guy, and I think he's very good at it.
Yeah, Levante David, he finished with four sacks in the final three games, so it was a real, real change from what had gone on earlier in the season when he really was not playing well. That's the bottom line. But Ira, I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves because your podcast, of course, is presented by Ed Moore's Cadillac Tampa, Ed Moore's Cadillac Brandon, the people who make it all possible. I'm always finding myself on edmoorescadillactampa.com. Ira, trying to live the dream of my next vehicle. I'm not sure what that's going to be yet, but I also look at that the great Cadillacs, and I just see you in an ATS. I see it. I see it coming. I know we talk about this, but time is passing. We're getting closer to 2018. I'm excited. But Morse has more. Ira, Morse has more. During the Memorial Day sales event all month long, get more selection and more customer benefits at Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. Right now, you can drive off in a 2017 XT5 luxury crossover for only $399 a month. Zero down.
Zero down.
zero down. Rush to Edmore's Cadillac Brandon to get more, or what? Click edmorescadillacbrandon.com.
What are they putting in the water out there, Stephen? What do you mean zero down?
Zero down. Zero means zero, Ira, of course, with approved credit, 39-month lease, 10K annual miles, zero down, plus tax, tag, title, and dealer fee. All the details are at the dealership, of course, and the offer expires at month's end. That's edmorescadillacbrandon.com. And at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa, also, they have the same Memorial Day sales event. Hurry in and take advantage of their limited holiday time offers, like a new 2017 ATS sedan, just $359, zero down. That's what I see you in, Ira. I see you in that ATS, you know?
I can just see a little bottle of champagne on the seat next to me.
Put your little dog in the back seat. Yeah.
My little Dante, my little Boston Terrier.
Take him out to the
beach. Time
of
his life.
Time of his life, living in style.
A little blanket across the back in case he makes a mistake.
In his golden years, makes a mistake. What is this, kindergarten? Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa, just west of 275 on Fletcher. Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa. Click edmorescadillactampa.com. Of course, see dealer for all the details on the offer. And Memorial Day, great sales events at Edmore's Cadillac Tampa and Edmore's Cadillac Brandon. Now, all right. Now, Ira, seriously, we're here at $1, and I don't want to talk about Levante David first. Well, you know what? Let's do that first. It's your podcast. You brought up Levante David, and this podcast is about your thoughts, Ira, about your sage wisdom.
My first thought, don't viewers of Hard Knocks, don't expect Levante David to emerge as one of the compelling storylines. It's not going to happen, Steve. Levante David is a reserved individual. The cameras are not going to change that. He is what he is. He tells it like it is, and he's a very good football player. Like Gerald McCoy, and you noticed I asked this question to a couple of the players today, those McCoy remarks, what do they make of it, and do they apply to Robert Ayers and Levante David? And I think Levante David could use a little of that Gerald McCoy self-introspection at this point and say, hey, I've got to max out. I'm a good to very good player. I want to be great, which you know he does. And I think maybe some of that McCoy stuff could be spreading.
You know what? A couple of things on that, Ira.
Of course you're going to disagree.
I agree, but I disagree. Look, McCoy did his, for those who don't remember or didn't see it, he did his soul-searching speech here about 3-4 weeks ago about how he needs to step up, and guys are telling him he's not getting it done. Independent people in the league who he trusts, and that he doesn't like what he's doing in the fourth quarter, and he needs to, you know, be a better teammate to bring everybody up around him and bring up himself. And that's all very nice, but just because Levante David isn't saying that doesn't mean that he isn't doing this thing every year. You go, Levante David's a very methodical guy in his approach to football. He's said before, and he's said this every offseason, go back, watch the film, work on your weaknesses, you know, get healthy, and just keep methodically going along, learn. And that's all they need from him.
Speaking, Steve, along those lines of film work in review.
Yes, that we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that because that was
very interesting.
That was very good. I'm going to be writing about that, and I think it's very telling about this management style of Mike Smith. But Levante David, I think he's been the only Buccaneer so far, correct me if I'm wrong, who has said, Hard Knocks, get me the hell away from the cameras. I want no part of this. You're not going to see me, is really sort of what he said today.
And I think he speaks for a lot of Bucks. You know, we haven't heard it from a lot of Bucks, but I think he speaks for a lot of Bucks.
I'm sure he speaks for a percentage of Bucks who just don't want any part of that, and I can't blame them, because the reality is you don't know how you're going to be portrayed, because there's editing and there's cuts and there's clips and things get out of context very easily.
Also, this is not a 5-11 team desperate for relevance, Steve.
Correct.
When you come off 9-7, the playoffs are dead ahead, right within your sights. Anything less is a disappointment. And I don't want to hear anything other than that when the season ends. I don't want somebody saying, well, we still won 9 games and we're close. No. Buck fans don't want to hear it. Anything less than playing into January is going to be a major disappointment. You know that.
Yeah.
And they're not interested in Hard Knocks at this point.
No, and it's true. You know, it is the reality facing this franchise. It's a tremendous amount of pressure. And when you really think about it, and one of the questions I asked David today was, hey, this is your 6th year. Do you feel more pressure than ever? And he pretty much said, well, 9-7, You know, it's only one way to go from 9-7.
That's right.
And this is my first winning season, and here we go. And that's the way this is across the franchise. A lot of pressure on the young quarterback, who is the face, is the leader, and is a guy known for putting too much pressure on himself. And that's going to take me to your column that you pumped out on Wednesday. Ira, your column.
Nice and early on Wednesday, Steven.
I was so pleased to see that thing pop up in my inbox. I'm like, Kaufman getting it done. And then I read it, and I'm like, Ira's hitting his full stride.
You know, you can never talk about number three enough, Steve. That's just the case. You cannot talk enough about number three.
Now, for those who didn't read it, Ira's column, first of all, shame on you. Shame. second, Ira's columns are Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Usually every morning on Joe Bucks Fan, sometimes noonish. Maybe Ira's got to have some bacon.
We pick our spots, and Podcast Tuesday, Thursday, right?
Podcast
Steve?
Tuesday, Thursday. Your column, though, was really dove into some research on Jameis, some statistics there that are telling. Maybe you can reset a couple of your thoughts in there on what Jameis has done and what he has to do.
My main point, Steve, to the column is Buck fans have every reason to be excited about Jameis Winston's progress, what he's done the first two seasons. Leadership off the charts, of course. He has nothing to prove on in that regard. But, Steve, with this little codicil, that's my word of the day, with the codicil.
Agita, codicil.
Steve, he's not a finished product, and you shouldn't think he would be in year three. That would be, shooting for the stars. He took certain steps last year, but you know what? He still turns the ball over too much. Dirk Cutter will tell you that. And I love the fact, and that's another point I made, and I think you'd agree with me, even though you hate to agree with me.
I love to agree with you.
Dirk Cutter, in no shape or form, intends to coddle Jameis Winston. He's not bent of that persuasion.
He can't.
Of his personality.
He's not a baby anymore.
And he's not going to do it. He's not going to make excuses for Jameis Winston. You know that in their private conversations, Steve, Dirk Cutter is very direct, and he's not afraid in any manner of hurting Jameis Winston's feelings. Never even crossed, and it shouldn't. He's a big man, Jameis. He's been through a lot. He's won a national championship. He wants to be great. He's not great yet, but he's well on his way.
Here's part of this, Ira. It's too late to coddle him. It's too late. That's the whole theme of this franchise right now. 9-7. We just got the kid all the weapons he could need except for a brand new elite potential running back. We got him all kinds of weapons.
Same system.
He's had the same offensive coordinator for 3 years. You know, the average turnaround time for an offensive coordinator in the NFL is about 2.5 seasons.
Nice.
And it's now. It is right now. You got a defense that just led you to 6-2 to close the season. It wasn't the offense. It is right now. So there is no, the coddling is over. It's done. And we know how quickly this thing can turn.
And an offensive line that Buck coaches have a lot of faith in. A lot of faith in.
And the gelling is there. The coaching staff continuity. Every element is there. We see in Jacksonville how quickly things turned in year three in the wrong direction for Blake Bortles. And going back to your column, you really illustrated how quickly things turned for Josh Freeman, who had achieved more in many ways than what Jameis did. And I loved what you said.
We should never forget that, Steve.
I loved what you said about the locker. That was fantastic. That Jameis should have a picture of Freeman in his locker. That was fantastic.
As a point of emphasis of what can happen if you're not sharp on the details. And Jameis is. And I said in the column, and I do believe it, Steve, it's not going to happen to Jameis Winston, the Josh Freeman effect. And by that, I mean, Steve, and I cannot emphasize this point. You know, when you really think about it, it is remarkable that Josh Freeman, who could be in the prime of his career at the age of 29, has never had a significant injury in his career, cannot get a job. He can't get a job. He's not Kaepernick with not kneeling for the national anthem. You don't have the political ramifications. He can't get a job. And that's how far south things went. Now, did Josh Freeman love football to the extent of Jameis Winston? Obviously not. Winston's here at 5:45 a.m., and you and I know that that's probably the time that Josh Freeman rolled into bed on a lot of nights. So
yeah, I read that.
That might have been a little cheap shot there.
I got to laugh. I thought it was a cheap shot. Cheap shot, you know, just knowing Freeman was here early a lot doesn't mean he didn't have his late nights. I don't think Jameis is running around town like Freeman was.
But things deteriorated.
But Freeman was here early. My favorite thing Ronnie Barber ever told me about Freeman was, well, he's working hard. I just don't know really what he's doing. You know, is he working smart? You know, that was something came out of Rondé Barber's mouth when they were teammates. But the pressure, going back to the X's and O's, the football, the interceptions, you had some good
fumbles.
The fumbles, the early overhypedness and not performing as well in the first quarter. These are all real issues with Jameis. You had in there that his quarterback rating, I'm not a big fan of the stat, but it's still legitimate in sort of a micro situation. Jameis was what, the fourth worst quarterback with quarterback rating in the fourth quarter?
Well,
last year
his rating was, you know, was below the Colin Kaepernick's of the world and Blake Bortles.
Yeah, it was way down there.
Yeah. It was way down. You look at, and forget about Brady because Brady stands alone. But you know, you look at Matt Ryan in your own division, Steve, reigning MVP, and in terms of third down rating, fourth quarter rating, Ryan's off the charts, Steve. He's off the charts. I don't think he threw an interception on third down last year. Some of these guys, you know, their ratio, you know, in the fourth quarter, the touchdowns, the interceptions is like, you know, 12-1. Jameis Winston's not there yet. So now I'll say this, Steve. He did not have a credible ground game last season for most of the year. He did not. And that's a factor. Too many third and eights.
It's a factor, but still, mistakes are mistakes. You look at, came out yesterday, news where the Colts, Brian Schottenheimer, their quarterback's coach, went public saying, hey, Andrew Luck, you cannot be a double-digit interception guy. You're doing it every year. You have to stop it. You have to let plays die. And
double digits, that could mean 11. Right. Winston was 18.
Right. Luck last year had 13 and 15 games. And it's a problem. And, you know, Jason Light was on Pro Football Talk Live this week on NBC Sports Radio with Mike Florio. And, of course, Florio asked him about Jameis. And really, Light's answer, which we've heard various versions of before, was he has got to learn how to let plays die, live to fight another day, and take a sack or throw it away, whatever. That's Jameis. And
It's part of the reason you love him. And the confidence, Steve. Sure. It's part of it, but it's the flip side.
And it also, that all goes to turnovers. Dirk Cutter doesn't care about a play that Jameis tries to make too much of. If he doesn't turn it over, okay. But you turn it over a lot of times. They know the numbers on how many plays that Jameis forced that led to turnovers. But you know what? Even if it's three or four, that's too many. That'll cost you a game.
And that's why, Steve, their overall, you know, plus minus was not overly impressive, even though from a takeaway standpoint, I believe they had 17 interceptions as a defense, which is a very high total in this league. Because nobody's picking off 28 passes like they used to. 17 almost led the league. So from a takeaway standpoint, especially in the second half of the season, Mike Smith's guys got the job done very well. But the overall plus minus wasn't great because they're turning the ball over too much on the other side.
All right. Now, of course, your podcast is available on iTunes. As I showed you some data, most people are listening on their mobile devices, so we appreciate that. If you get a chance on iTunes, leave a review. Review the podcast. It's very easy. It can even be a little bit fun. It basically counters the idiots who dare to blast Ira in there.
Steve, facts are facts. Not alternate facts. Not fiction. Not fake news. And Steve, as you've told me.
What are these facts?
Back me up. This podcast is growing. This podcast is growing every week, every month. The numbers are better and better. Climb aboard, people.
Yeah,
before you get left behind.
It's impressive, and it's a testament to your sage wisdom, Ira.
Again with the sage.
Well, people need to know. See, if you say it long enough, people start to believe it, right?
No, haven't we learned that over this last few months?
That's the way it is in America. All right.
And we're missing Mr. DeCamper, too.
Lee DeCamper.
A sage third voice.
Lee is in Miami. Hopefully he's on.
What, is he there for the buck opener? He's going to stay there until yeah.
Yeah, he's camping out. He's got a 10 up. Bucks are good. Now, hopefully he's on South Beach with some lovely ladies or maybe just one. And we'll see him back.
Hey,
Steve,
that was another great segment from Levante when somebody asked him about the opener in Miami. And he talked about his hometown. He's already getting ticket requests. And how that could make a big statement in week one. You know, the Bucks are underdogs, Steve. You know, Vegas is not buying in, Steve. You know, over-under is 8. You know, that's up on a bulletin board somewhere. Besides the picture of Josh Freeman in Winston's locker, he should have, you know, a big number 8 listed with what Vegas thinks the Bucks are going to do in 2017. And they're 2-point underdogs to a Miami team, which is what? They're okay to Dolphins, nothing extra.
Well, I got to say this, Ira, while you were talking there, because it was in my craw, I was looking up.
Did the I don't want to know anything that's in your crew.
Did the Bucks really have 17 interceptions last year? And they did. So kudos to you.
Again, the sage.
Kudos to your sage wisdom. Winston threw 18 picks, so that's not a bad mix there. But, you know, it's too early to start putting point spreads on games. But, look, the Dolphins.
They're a playoff team.
Playoff team. With also going into second year of a head coach, continuity, a lot of confidence there. They can run the football. That is a very, very tough spot for the Bucks. Even though everybody likes to say, I think your casual fans like, oh, Miami, we can take them, and sure, we can take them, but still, very, very tough game. Now,
well, the biggest problem as a Dolphin fan, I'm not, but if you're a Dolphin fan, the biggest problem is you're always looking up at New England. That doesn't make Miami a bad football team. Steve.
No,
they're not a bad team.
No, definitely not. Not anymore. Anyway, now Mike Smith, he spoke today, gave us about 20 minutes. I asked him about Hard Knocks and how much time it takes because, you know, Cutter spent all, the only reason I asked is that Cutter has spoken so many times through the year. Hey, media guys, I wish I could stop talking to you because I could use more time. And man, I need to work on my time management to get more involved on special teams and here and there. And Cutter's always talking about, I wish I had more time. That's why he was even speculating, which we know won't happen. He was speculating that he might stop calling plays to give himself some more time across the team during
the
week.
Let's move on from that nonsense, Steven.
Yeah, that nonsense. Not going to happen, folks. So I asked Mike Smith, when you were head coach in Atlanta, how much time did Hard Knocks take of your time to review the film, to make sure something didn't appear that you wanted?
And he didn't say none of it.
He didn't mince words. He said 2 hours he would spend
the night before.
Two hours the night before the episode, he would comb through it with a fine-tooth comb and spend about 2 hours after other staff on the team. He implied the PR staff, but other staff on the team.
They weighed in.
Went through it first, sort of pre-screened it for him. Now, 2 hours for a head coach a week in training camp who doesn't want to deal with anything, let alone 2 hours of Hard Knocks.
And trying to decide, you know, who the last 10 guys are on the roster.
You know. For a coach complaining about not enough time, now, that seemed like a lot. 2 hours, Dirk Cutter's not going to be a happy camper sitting at the end of a brutally hot, long training camp day watching film of Hard Knocks at 9:30
And I'm not sure Smith didn't underestimate that time, Steve. It could have been a little longer than that.
I'm not sure, but the X factor here is Cutter might say, screw it. I'm not doing it. He might say, I'm not wasting the time. You got that's
Jason, take care of it.
Jason, find somebody to take care of it. Nelson, who's the PR director here, Nelson, it's on you. So maybe it won't take Cutter any time, but we talk about distractions. And while it shouldn't be a distraction, there was Mike Smith saying, cost me 2 hours.
I think, Steve, tell me if I'm wrong here, but I think Cutter's curiosity is going to get the best of him here in terms of if he thinks he's going to delegate this editing process to other people. I don't think that's going to fly. Knowing Cutter's personality like you and I do, he's a little bit more hands-on.
Great point.
I think it's going to be a problem to think that Cutter's not going to be involved in at least overseeing this thing.
I agree with you. I think Cutter's got a little, not a lot. I'm not comparing the two. I don't want people to drive off the road what I'm going to say next. But I think in some ways, Cutter's got a little Schiano micromanager in him. He's got a little bit of that.
Pale imitation. Yeah.
But you know what? If there's 5 Hard Knocks episodes and 2 hours an episode, that's a whole day's work on Hard Knocks. And don't tell me there's a coach in this league who could say, I can afford to give away a day in training camp
for a TV show.
So, yeah, we talk about distractions. It shouldn't be a distraction long term, but the reality is the reality, and that's why we're talking about it. So I'm glad.
And Steve, you know, as a coach, as a head coach, you want to be involved in how your team is presented to Buck fans, viewers around the NFL, your peers. You don't turn your back on that, Steve. It's not insignificant. I know it doesn't count in the one loss column, but it's still the public face that you put on your franchise, and any head coach wants to be involved.
It's important, especially when you have a team like the Bucks are, which we just talked about before, on the rise. This is not a veteran-laden team that has its full identity forged yet. You don't want anything to get in the way. and you want the presentation just right, or at the very least, Cutter will get all over this thing early to make sure the tone is set for the way he wants it to go.
Now, let's talk about one of the few veteran sage voices they do have at One Buck Place, and that is one Mr. Robert Ayers, who I thought came across brilliantly today as a no-nonsense individual who is as competitive in his own right as Jameis Winston in terms of hating to lose. At least this is what
Ayers,
he said.
Ayers actually called himself, he sees Jameis as the defensive end. No, he sees himself, how did he phrase it?
He says that Jameis is the other side of the coin to him on offense.
He said something like, Jameis is the defensive end of me, of the offense. Yeah. The point was that we're of the same spirit of lead, don't care about anything else. And it's only about winning, and that's it.
And you noticed, Steve, one of the questions, and I think I phrased it the way I wanted it to, which was basically after the bye week, when you're sitting there 3-5, you've had two disastrous games against the Raiders and Falcons. From a defensive standpoint, you didn't show up either week. You were embarrassed. And here's the bye week, and they come out, and very quickly, they got a 5-game winning streak going. Steve, coming out of the bye week, including making Drew Brees look terrible, Alex Smith, and Russell Wilson. Not exactly chopped liver. That's two Pro Bowlers and a guy that maybe could have made the Pro Bowl, and Russell Wilson. Made all three of them look really bad. And Buck fans were going crazy because shades of 2002. And my question to Ayers is, when we went in that locker room, after about the third week of that 5-game winning streak, What changed in the bye week? What happened? Because we all want to know that magic, pill that happened. And Steve, am I exaggerating to say more than a few guys said Robert Ayers chewed our ass out? He said we're better than this. Yeah, it was Robert Ayers.
I remember. I know that we were the first to write about it. I remember. I think I was even next to you. I believe I was, actually. How could I dare forget? We were talking to Akeem Spence.
Oh, Akeem Spence.
And
Akeem Spence
basically said that Robert Ayers...
And Ayers was in the corner of the locker room, right? He pointed to him. He goes, that's the guy.
He basically said Ayers bullied the team and just went on a massive tirade with the whole team and just went nuts, and it really made an impact. I remember walking over to Adam Humphries after that just to say, well, you know what, maybe Spence is exaggerating. Let me ask a guy on the total opposite side of the ball, unconnected. And Humphrey was like, oh, man, yeah, Ayers, that really was a wake-up call for the team. And, maybe it would have happened anyway, but he is that kind of leader. But today he was on display. Anybody who hasn't watched it yet on Buccaneers.com, it's worth your 15 minutes to listen to Robert Ayers, who they probably bleeped out the expletives, but it's still a hell of a lot of fun.
He's now, really a no-nonsense guy, isn't he, Steve?
But that's the way he is all the time. He can't help it. He's just one of these guys who just all he cares about is winning, complete maximum performance, and he's a lot of fun on Twitter off season. He's a fun
guy.
But
Steve, during the week, during the season, but he's not a guy that's bringing the cameras towards his locker.
He's all business. And what did you think when he said first? I'll hit you rapid fire with a few of these. One of these things he said was, "O.J. Howard, I can't wait. I can help him. I can make him better. I can't wait to challenge him, and I believe in weeding out the weak."
I thought that's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. Can't you just see Mike Smith, Cutter and Jason Light, and throw Ed Glazer into the mix, grinning ear to ear when they watch that video? I mean, what more could you want from a guy? Now, O.J. Howard's no shrinking violet. He's not going to fail the Robert Ayers test. But you could tell that Ayers has done that in the past. He's not just talking about theoretically.
Oh, absolutely.
He has weeded out weak-assed, rookies.
Can you imagine, though, forget about the other guys you just mentioned. Imagine Wednesday night, O.J. Howard's at home. He's got a pizza. He's got his feet up.
Let's see what Ayers
had to say. And he watches that, basically saying, this guy's saying, I am coming after you in practice. I'm going to weed out the weak. Could you imagine? And it sends such a great message. Now, Ayers isn't the kind of guy to send a hidden message through a news conference. He's just being himself, but I would wish I could be there to watch O.J. Howard watch that.
And he wants Howard to respond in kind, Steve. Yeah. He wants Howard to succeed because that's going to help the Bucs win football games. That's what Ayers is all about. He wants Howard to push back and slap him and tit for tat. He doesn't want Howard running for the hills. Dale Mabry. So he's rooting for O.J. Howard.
That was fantastic.
He's going to test O.J. Howard.
It was fantastic and good. Good. That's what we need more of. It reminded me back to when I remember talking to Donald Penn when they drafted Adrian Claiborne, and Penn, they had some awesome battles as rookies, and I think it helped Claiborne really launch as a great rookie season. He disappeared after that, got hurt and whatever, but that really helped him a lot.
And Ayers talked a lot about his relationship with Chris Baker. And very happy to be on the same team with Chris
Baker.
Were
rookies in Denver, and they kept in touch. I don't think there's much more there than that. Other than that, they're friends, but they've kept in touch, and that's pretty cool. NFL is quite a fraternity, as we know. Now, Mr. Ayers was also just as adamant that he said when he heard people talking junk, I believe was the quote, talking junk about Doug Martin. I didn't know if he was referring to us or not. Ironically, I'm the one who asked him the question or he answered based off a question I asked. He didn't like people talking about Martin, and he said, draft a running back? That's nuts. We got Doug Martin, and he was saying that Martin's
have
a guy.
People forgotten 2 years ago?
They forgot what he did 2 years ago, and he's all in on Doug Martin. I thought that was pretty telling, because Ayers didn't have to go that far.
I thought it was genuine.
Oh, very genuine.
And you know, Steve, you and I have talked about the Doug Martin situation. Our feelings are well known to Buck fans and to listeners of this podcast and to viewers of Joe Buck's fan. Unlikely that Doug Martin is going to be on this team in 2017 when the bullets start to fly and when he's eligible. Having said that, there's genuine strong feelings of support for Doug Martin,
sure,
from within the walls of One Buck Place. There's nothing fake about it, Steve.
Definite appreciation, but also it's not about the players. I'm just, again, pulling a name out. I remember having a long conversation last year with Ayers about Akeem Spence, and I didn't set out for that, but Ayers wanted to talk, and he was basically telling me that, you know what, Bucks are going to have to pay Akeem Spence like a starter because he's that good. He will get a job in this league. And he is a special worker and may just need a little bit more of a shot, but that guy's special. And you know what? Maybe a lot of Bucks fans wouldn't believe that, but there goes Akeem Spence very early in free agency for a few million bucks a year to a playoff team. And, the point was, this is a guy that was well-liked in the locker room and appreciated and respected, and he's gone. So same could happen with Martin.
Steve, can Buck fans be any more excited about anything that Ayers said rather than a wild prediction that Mr. Noah Spence may end up the season with 15 sacks. Now, did I hear that wrong, Steve?
You heard it right. 15 sacks. He said he believes that Spence could be.
Can we start with 10?
A 15-sack guy. This is just Ayers. But you know what? Mike Smith, I asked Mike Smith about Noah Spence and could he really evaluate him properly given that he was hurt all year. And Smith went over the top too, saying that Spence is, is really just quite a competitor. I don't have the quotes in front of me. Doesn't matter. There's a lot of, Smith went out of his way to say Spence is really show that he can be that three down guy. So there's really a lot of high expectations here.
Is it a stretch, Steve? Is it a stretch to suggest that people within this organization, the Brain Trust, believe that Spence could be their Vic Beasley, a guy who showed a little bit as a rookie? Expectations were high. Now, he's not a first-round pick like I believe Beasley was.
I don't think so.
But you saw the way Beasley blossomed. I mean, he was a beast. Talk about a beast in 2016. Played very well in the Super Bowl in the first half. He was unblockable at times. And look, I thought Spence had a nice rookie season. Not great, but he hurt. I thought he was impressive. A lot to build on with Noah Spence.
Yeah, a lot to build on. I won't call him Beasley because Beasley was dreadful his first year. And they actually changed his position. They changed his position and what he was doing within the defense.
To make him put him in position to succeed.
They just made the right call on him, and he blossomed, and like a lot of second-year players do. But Spence didn't have a bad year.
Right.
He wasn't like, they're not talking in the halls here of, we got to change his spot. But they are so high on this guy across the board. I mean, you were with me in Phoenix when Jason Light says he's an animal.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's across the board here, and he hasn't done anything yet. I mean, this is May, but obviously his attitude and his work ethic is really getting across to everybody.
Steve, for a team that's looking for its first double-digit sacker since Mr. Simeon Rice left Tampa Bay, 15 seems a little pie in the sky, my man. Even 15, for no offense,
well, it's 15 is it was fun to hear. But I'll ask you this: do you think, knowing that all that we've heard now about Noah Spence from two more sources today, does that make you believe more that the Bucs aren't going to change much and put much more on his plate? If they think he's a 4-3 D end in this system who is ready to just explode, are you going to play more 3-4 and move him around, or are you just going to sort of let him blossom within what he knows and keep his comfort level?
You'll see 3-4, but only occasionally, Steve. Mike Smith's big on flexibility. It's one of his favorite words. He talks about a safety, a hybrid safety, right? He wants flexibility, and he thinks he has it. Now with Baker, you know, the five technique and an upgrade, and we'll see about Beckwith, and could he be a linebacker when he's healthy that could stay on the field. He likes those options, and he feels he has them.
Yeah, he sure does. I asked him about the seventh-round pick, Stevie T, this 6'1", 330.
A guy who, on paper, he looks like, you know, a one-dimensional player.
He's 6'1", 330, Ira. Mike Smith looked me in the face and said he could play five technique, which is the outside defensive end. So they're going to line him up outside? He'd be the biggest defensive end since I don't know who. But Mike Smith is so dialed into wanting to be perceived as flexible, being flexible, telling his players through the media that they need to be versatile and cross-trained. And it worked very well for the Bucs last year at a handful of positions.
And now they got a new guy to compete for nickel corner, Steve.
Robert McClain signed. What's your take on this guy, Mr. Kaufman?
Certainly well-known by Mr. Cutter, by Mr. Smith. Not a guy that, you know, they're going to bank on. We don't know much about this guy. Frankly, Steve, and let's be honest, you and I talked about it in our previous podcast. I thought they were a little thin at corner. You know, doesn't mean McClain's going to make this team, but he's certainly going to be in the mix. All things being equal, I like his chances to make the final roster and maybe even be on the field 70% of the time.
Yeah, Mike Smith said today he would be competing at nickel, that he's got a lot of experience there. That's where he played three full seasons with Mike Smith in Atlanta. That means a lot when a guy plays for you 3 years and you bring him back. That's just not an accident.
You know, Brent Grimes all over again. Now, I'm not putting him in the category of Brent Grimes.
No, he's not. He's not. I mean, this guy was on the street twice in his career. But it's interesting. In 2015, he was on the street, had a tryout with the Panthers after he didn't return with the new regime in Atlanta. Panthers didn't keep him. He was on the street really till November. Came in, got on the team, and then started all through the playoffs and in the Super Bowl.
Familiarity means a lot, Steve, in this league. It doesn't always work. And by that I mean, Steve, we remember the Lovie Smith regime. A lot of Bears came in, especially on the defensive side of the ball. The major rights of the world. Melton. Yeah, it doesn't always work.
No, and you know, when I saw Robert McClain sign, I'm thinking, you know what? Another Falcon in here. We couldn't bring Roddy White last year to try to make the damn playoff.
Are you still on that crusade?
We couldn't give him a shot. Come on.
This year, they don't need Roddy White, my friend.
Loaded. Loaded 1 through 4. Now, they still need that number 5 receiver. I know you say one number 5 receiver, but you still want a talent in there, and they keep relying on this guy every year, the number 5 receiver.
Steve,
shows
this
up.
Is how far we've come. It's a good gauge. Instead of talking about we need a starting quarterback, we need this, you're talking about a fifth receiver.
All right.
That's progress, my friend.
Fair point.
And it's a good way to bow out on this podcast, buddy boy.
Go out on a progress note. You want lunch again? What is with the bow out of this podcast? This is the freedom of the internet, Ira. We're unlimited here. Unlimited.
By the way, just to throw a tidbit to our growing audience, there will be another joint podcast with the commish and one sage columnist, and it's up to you to make this thing happen, Steve.
But up to me.
I'm on board with it.
Yeah, no, look, Justin is eager to do it. And
I might have to crowd Miko out of the podcast to do it, but I'm, you know, maybe she could be the, maybe it could be a troika.
Now, Miko Grimes did appear on Bucks Uncensored on Monday. A lot of football in that interview. Did you listen to it all the way through?
I absolutely did.
Are you? Do you feel like you need to smoke a cigarette after that?
She is a lady who speaks her mind, Steve. No question.
Very, very entertaining. Very interesting.
Kind of incisive at times. You know.
Yeah, there's a lot of.
She's nobody's fool.
A lot of Bucks insight there. She, I thought it was very interesting. She said that Mike Smith told her before the end of the season, "I'm coming back. We love it here. I'm not going anywhere." Now, was he BSing? Who knows? Maybe there was a deal in the works with Team Glazer before the season even ended. We opened this podcast talking about Mike Smith getting another job. And you know what? My gut, I know we might never know the truth. My gut was the Chargers offered Mike Smith that job. And he saw the train wreck that is the Chargers and moving in L.A. and the second team. And he's not an L.A. guy. He's a Florida guy. And I think he wanted to buy some time. That's just my take.
Interesting, that's just my take. By the way, if Miko's listening to this podcast, I think there's a chance she will, or she'll be tipped off. I might offer some kind of a challenge, Steve, on the tennis court with you in the umpire's chair. I hear she's quite the player. Quite the player.
Why would you want to embarrass yourself?
You know,
like that?
I don't like losing to players' wives over here, but I'm willing to give it a little college
you're
try.
You're going to play a 40-year-old woman in prime physical condition.
And like, I better bring the Gatorade and the towels.
An ex-college tennis player, you're going to get crushed.
Yeah, if I get a game, I'm happy.
Now, I'll say Ira is a pesky opponent on the tennis court. I've never gotten another
Pesky's
rematch.
Pesky's not the greatest accolade in the world over there.
Oh, that's your game.
I rely on my wiles over there. But you know what? The wiles isn't going to be enough against a college player.
No.
But it'll
no.
be fun.
But no, but you can play. This is not a joke. And on the tennis court, your age moves from 83 down to 51.
More podcasts coming up, people.
More podcasts coming up. Ira actually is going to have, next month we'll be able to announce it with detail, but there's going to be a really unique personal appearance for Ira. Very exciting stuff. Ira's actually in demand. People are calling looking for Ira. Ira, how can we get Ira involved?
Mostly on the tennis court. But, you know, I don't mind, and I think anybody who was at Legends a couple of weeks ago, Steve, can attest. I don't mind pressing the flesh. Some of my brethren in my profession, I dare say, wouldn't be caught dead talking to a fan. I've never felt that way, Steve, and I'm proud of that.
The people love you, Ira. You are the people's champion.
People's champion. I'm 0-4 on the John Lynch, bandwagon.
Yeah, you know, you might want to start taking notes, Ira, because people can help you with that. They can help you with your presentation.
I don't know if I'm up to it, some have said.
Oh, boy. All right, Ira, your podcast. Thank you again, of course, to Ed Morse Cadillac Tampa and Ed Morse Cadillac Brandon. You will be keep firing away. I know you got a good column prepared for Friday and then again on Monday, and we'll be back at it next week. All right, folks, Ira, final one-liner? you got nothing. All right, Ira, you're out of here.